The Big Story is brought to you by Scotia iTrade. There's a trader in all of us. This should go without saying, really, but if you ever want to piss off an elite athlete, tell them what they can't do.
So keep the political commentary to yourself, or as someone once said, shut up and dribble.
Naturally, LeBron James did anything but shut up and dribble in 2018, and he was not the only one. It used to be that the higher the stratosphere you rose to as an athlete, the quieter you had to be about your political beliefs, or the less you should stir the pot. There were a bunch of reasons for this, from marketability to media criticism, to your own pocketbook if your league decided to fine you, to your post-career opportunities if you happened to become known as someone who liked to say what's on your mind. That dynamic has been eroding for a while now, and in 2018, it shattered.
Now, the gymnastics superstar is opening up about a low point in her life, adding her name to the list of more than 100 athletes who have accused former team doctor Larry Nassar of sexual abuse.
I think that if you're for all Americans, I don't think that what I'm asking for is, you know, LGBT rights. I think it's human rights.
This race thing is taking over, you know, because... One, because I believe our president is kind of trying to divide us. But I think...
Kind of?
Yeah. Is.
Trump-James may have been the heavyweight fight, but all over sports, athletes were advocating for attention to racism, to police brutality, to sexual assault, and in many cases, opening up about their own past experiences with abuse or bullying or sexism. And they were embraced for it. Have we finally reached a place where athletes behaving like humans, with flaws and opinions and personal causes and grievances and even just things they like to talk about outside the games they play, is more lucrative than the merciless, cliche-spitting, shoe-selling automatons that the culture has often demanded they be? The answer to that question was a resounding yes this year. The only question now is how far it will go. Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Welcome to the biggest stories of 2018. Every day this week, we're talking to our favorite people about the issues that mattered most this year. Donovan Bennett is a reporter, staff writer at Sportsnet.ca, our resident expert in issues of sports and culture. Donovan, it's not just me, right? It does feel like athletes have just been speaking out about everything this year.
It's not just you. They were raising their voices. They were amplifying their voices. They were encouraging other athletes to raise their voices. They were standing with Cap, and Cap in this case is Kaepernick. And I think part of it is the current president poking them, literally, like, you know, poking the bear and chiding them and them responding, right? Like, one thing athletes are is competitive, right? That's how they got to that level, is because they have, you know, and many times irrational confidence. And so when they're challenged, they are going to step up. And I think so the president in many ways for, you know, a couple years now has gotten the most prominent of them to react and to respond. And I think that has, in general, put them in a space where, okay, well, LeBron James put his toe in the water and he's fine. And Steph Curry put his toe in the water and he's fine. And Serena Williams just, you know, jumped right in the water and she's fine. So if they can speak out, well, why can't I? And it's not always political. Some of the biggest stories with athletes speaking out is that, you know, Kyrie Irving feels like the earth is flat and Steph Curry feels like man has never been on the moon. So we're getting things on all spectrums, whether it's athletes speaking out about important issues like Michael Bennett and Colin Kaepernick talking about social justice issues and the criminal justice system and how it is not fair for minorities in the United States. Or, you know, athletes speaking about hazing, like Dan Carcillo, and mental illness. There's a lot of important topics that are important to these athletes, and I think it's good. The one thing that I am a little bit afraid of, and I hope that we have some caution, is I don't want all athletes to feel like they need to speak out about everything. I almost feel like if you're not an expert on something, it is actually detrimental if you feel pressure to speak out on it and you're speaking ill-informed. If you're passionate about something, then sure, speak out on it. But, I mean, our politicians, they don't necessarily lobby on everything or have policies on everything. And so I'm not to say athletes should only speak to their base, but I think they should only speak about things that they're comfortable on and more importantly, things that they're called to speak about. And so that's what I worry about is that there will be a keeping up with the Joneses. Whenever there's some sort of tragedy on Twitter, everyone is like, well, you know, thoughts and prayers with. And I almost found that fascinating, as if you didn't tweet that, people would think that you don't care about whatever the tragedy is. I feel like we're getting to a point where athletes are afraid that if they don't say something on everything, people will assume that they feel negative about that issue. So they're just getting participation points at this point.
And that's a huge change from, I mean, even as recently as 5 or 10 years ago, or athletes of a generation ago who couldn't speak their mind because they would lose endorsement deals. And I'm just going to point to the very obvious, because you mentioned Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick literally got an endorsement deal this year, not for playing football, but for speaking up. Like, Colin Kaepernick is not on the field. He's raising social issues, and that's why he's getting paid by Nike, which is an insane flip from, you know, even just 3-4 years ago before people started kneeling.
Yeah, it's so true. And a lot of this is economics, right? So we were after the Jordan era and, you know, him allegedly saying, well, Republicans buy sneakers too, and not wanting to endorse, you know, Democratic candidates, so on and so forth, and thinking of his bottom line. We had, you're right, an era where athletes either didn't feel comfortable or were told not to speak out on causes because it was going to impact their ability to sell merchandise, their ability to be a spokesperson for the team. And now we've done that complete, you know, shift, that complete 180, if you will, where now there is no hiding, right? We are so divisive as a society that everyone has to choose sides. Companies have to choose sides. Politicians have to choose sides. And I think athletes now are in many ways, deciding, okay, well, where do you stand on this issue? And I think companies feel that same pressure. So they don't feel any issue with aligning athletes who have strong political views. In fact, they want athletes to reinforce the political views that they hold. So if Nike wants to be seen as progressive, then Colin Kaepernick, step right up. And so Papa John's, probably not the spot for Colin Kaepernick because they don't want to necessarily be seen as progressive on the issues that he is talking about. I don't think Brett Favre is going to be doing any Nike ads anytime soon because he's speaking to a totally different base. And so, yeah, I think these companies are being forced to make a choice. Nike, it's one thing for you to sell Be True Gear and say that you support the LGBTQ movement, but what does that really mean? There's now a higher expectation for those companies. And so, Kaepernick being front and center of their Dream Crazy ad, which is, you know, celebrating the anniversary of the Just Do It campaign, I think now it makes perfect sense. And now, again, that Nike has been a leader in that sense, we'll see how other companies follow. And let's be clear, the real tastemakers when it comes to brands and when it comes to affinity with people spending money are the athletes and celebrities, and they are keeping these companies accountable. When Kevin Plank, the leader and founder of Under Armour, aligned himself with Donald Trump and was on his advisory council around business, Steph Curry, The Rock, many athletes who were Under Armour affiliated said, well, no, wait a minute. I don't want to be linked with Donald Trump at all. So I need a clear line of delineation of where you stand on this, this, and this. And in short order, Kevin Plank was no longer in an advisory council with Donald Trump. So it's interesting how it has turned, and the branding now is about how you feel on sometimes divisive issues and not trying to stay away from them.
See, in that sense, I can kind of understand how
athletes got to where they are? Because like you mentioned, they're competitive. So first of all, there is nature to put your views forward, especially against someone spouting the racist kind of stuff that the president does. But there's also a need to speak out about causes that you care about that goes beyond kind of the one-upmanship in terms of politics. You mentioned Dan Carcillo speaking out about bullying, Simone Biles speaking out about sexual abuse. Those kind of confessions are the ones of a more personal nature, signal to me that maybe something's changing in terms of like how vulnerable these athletes allow themselves to be. I can't imagine a former NHL tough guy describing in detail the way he was bullied and humiliated the way Dan Carcillo did on CBC's The National like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I hope that it means it's a change in our culture and their level of comfort and how they'll be received. I hope speaking out on different things that have happened to them or things that they feel are important. And I think it's also a way that we view our stars, our celebrities, our athletes, and in many ways our politicians, where, you know, for a while we saw them as aspirational. We want to be like someone. We wish we could be like someone. If you're a kid when you grow up, or, you know, even as an adult, to model their behavior. Now I feel like as a culture, we look for people who are relatable, who we can see some of our qualities in them, and vice versa. I think that's why we're seeing less women being touched up in magazines, really talking about being photographed without makeup or with less makeup, and, you know, accepting all body types. I honestly think and hope, and again, maybe I'm just a dreamer and a positive person, but I feel like we gravitate towards people now more so based on the relatability and not so much aspire to be like them. And I think that in the long run, that's probably healthy.
Up next,
he is really comfortable in his own skin, that he's willing to not only denounce the terrible things that the current president has said, but, you know, to go as far as to call him a bum.
We all have investment goals, and Scotia iTrade can help you reach yours. Access free tools and resources to sharpen your investment skills. Visit ScotiaiTrade.com to start direct investing today. Scotia iTrade, there's a trader in all of us.
So let's talk about the matchup at the very top then. What's happened with LeBron James and Donald Trump? And it's weird to say that they have a relationship. Obviously, it's just a social media and public comments relationship. But what's happened to that over the course of the year? Because these are the two biggest men in their respective fields.
Yeah, and so every great athlete or athletic figure has a rival, right? Like, you know, Magic had Bird. Everyone has a rival. I honestly think when we look back at 2018, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we look back at the breadth of LeBron James' career, who are we going to say his rival is? It's not really Kobe Bryant. Kobe kind of was coming down when he was going up. I don't think it's Steph Curry. They play different positions. I think we're going to say LeBron's greatest rival was Donald J. Trump. And his greatest impact and legacy will be less so about what he does on the court, because there will be Michael Jordan truthers who will never believe, no matter what LeBron does, that he is in any way better than Michael Jordan. But I think his legacy will be that he was so much different than Michael Jordan off of the court, in that off of the court, he kind of became Magic Johnson while becoming Michael Jordan on the court. And so that means, you know, not listening to Laura Ingram, not just shutting up and dribbling, but opening up a school in the same community that you grew up in, where there's after school care and there's, you know, facilities to help not just the students, but the families that are, you know, underprivileged, so that they can work and fend for themselves and kind of teach not just the student, but the family kind of how to fish. That he is, you know, creating content, and that he's not just using us, the media, to speak his message. And in many ways, he's making us obsolete, but he's going directly to the consumer with his message, and he's shining a light on issues that are important to him, and that the mainstream media at this point either doesn't have the resources to cover or doesn't have the interest to cover. plus he's taking, you know, ownership of his career when it comes to negotiations and how he handles those things. But more importantly, he is really comfortable in his own skin that he's willing to not only denounce the terrible things that the current president has said, but, you know, to go as far as to call him a bum, which I wouldn't necessarily encourage. But I think it's instructive, the lack of fear that he has. No longer is the activist athlete just docile and speaking quietly and meekly. No, he's speaking full-chested and wants everyone to hear him and isn't afraid what he has to say, whether it's Laura Ingraham or Donald Trump or anyone else. And so when he was told to shut up and dribble, his immediate response was, I'm going to use my creative arm of Spring Hill Entertainment, and I'm going to create a series called Shut Up and Dribble, and I'm going to do the exact opposite and highlight all of the stories and aspects of this culture that you feel like I should just accept. I think when we look back at 2018, the continued evolution of LeBron, the evolution of that relationship between LeBron and Donald Trump, I think LeBron probably won the year of 2018. I don't think Trump won any voters by calling LeBron dumb, and calling Don Lemon dumb, and continuing to tweet about it. I think LeBron taking the high road and saying, well, we're not going to go to the White House, but not taking the high road and saying exactly why he has issues with some of the policies that Donald Trump endorses, and some of the inequity in the country that he was growing up in the United States. But then also backing up and saying, well, I have a lot of power too. Here's how I want to use that power to change those things, I think is a pretty cool thing.
It's funny because obviously the current president comes from such a sports-infused culture. I mean, he's a golfer. He wanted to own a team in the NFL. He was involved in football before that. And the fact that some of the people standing up and voicing their opinions the loudest are athletes just seems so fitting to me.
Yeah, and I always wonder, man, if he ended up getting the rights to own the Bills, would we be in this place? Like, would he just been preoccupied with dealing with New Era Field and Buffalo and finding a quarterback for the first time since Jim Kelly and not, you know, worried about, you know, a caravan and you know, locking up children and keeping them away from their parents? Yeah, he's had a sports tie, and I think it's partially where sports is in our current culture. Like, there's a reason why you know brands more and more are moving to sports to sell their message, because in a attention economy, when it's tough to get any group of people to pay attention for a period of time on anything, sports is still in many ways appointment TV, appointment viewing, and something that no matter race, color, or creed, often breaks down barriers and you can talk to people about. And so in many ways, Trump is just doing what many brands or influencers do. He's using sports as a way, as a pathway to get attention, one, but to speak to things and to speak to his base. And so certainly there are many athletes that Donald Trump could have an issue with. It's not a coincidence that he's decided to have an issue with LeBron James and Steph Curry, the two most popular athletes in the most progressive sport in North America. I didn't hear him say anything about JT Brown of the Tampa Bay Lightning when he put up a fist in the air at the beginning of a National Hockey League game, because that wouldn't have gotten the same bang for his buck. At the end of all of this, I think he is a bit more calculated than we probably want to give him credit. Just because his tweets come in the middle of the night, I still think he's thinking about what he's doing, and I think he is using sports the way many people have.
Man, I was just going to say that I hate it when you say things that make me think Donald Trump is smart.
I don't know. What's the worst alternative? That he's, like, really smart, like he's basically a genius, and he's playing all of this, or that he's a rambling imbecile and he's just kind of lucked his way to this point? Like, I'm not sure what's better or what's worse.
Me neither. Donovan Bennett from Sportsnet.ca.
That was the big story brought to you by Scotia iTrade. You can visit ScotiaiTrade.com to start direct investing today. You should make sure to join us tomorrow when we'll bring back some of our favorite guests from around the year, do a little bit of a roundtable. What was the most important story of 2018? And by God, we will make them share a happy story each from this year. We can find three of those, I think. For more from us, you can visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also find us on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And of course, we are wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Acast, everywhere. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.